Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 13 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker, and I've missed you. I've missed you guys so much. Not even on any meds anymore, you guys. This is just me being nuts, being weirdo. I'm definitely getting over my illness. Yay! Feeling much better. So thank you to everybody who asked about that. Doing great. A couple of things in a minute. We're going to announce the winners for the Sarah Haley workout DVDs that I was doing on Twitter, asking everybody to tweet at me, MIH podcast, and sending a couple of people these DVDs, these workout DVDs from her Expecting More series. They're pretty great. So you guys want to make sure you check that out. Even if you didn't win, check them out. And what else is happening? Oh, the Emmys. Did you guys watch the Emmys? I thought they were pretty good, actually. I don't know. Maybe a little predictable. I don't watch Veep. Everyone tells me I should watch Veep. And I'm probably missing out on another great show. The Comeback was another show. Everybody's like, oh, you have to watch it. I just feel like I only get so much time during the day for television. And now that Big Brother is over, which should be a whole nother show that I should talk about. But now that Big Brother is over, I've freed up a little bit more time for myself. I've got my set shows that I watch. I try to watch new shows, but Veep is one of them. Grace and Frankie is a new show that I watched a little bit this summer and I loved so much, with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. If you have not seen that on Netflix, go check out Grace and Frankie. It's a really smart show and so wonderfully written. But anyway, back to the Emmys. I thought Andy Samberg did a decent job. I thought he was funny, but there was a couple of times where I was like, did you just motorboat the statue? He straight up just motorboated the Emmy statue. He was making a joke about the girls episode where Allison Williams gets motorboated in the butt. And I was like, ooh, a little tacky. Although I love it personally. Me personally, as Heather Brooker, the crude prude with the wildly inappropriate sense of humor, I appreciated it. I just didn't think that the Emmys was maybe the best place for that. He also made a really off-color joke about Adrian Brody's nose that clearly caught Adrian Brody off guard and made him super uncomfortable. So I was like, ugh. Again, while I personally enjoy the wild and inappropriate and absurd humor, I just don't know that the Emmys was a great place for it. But Veep won everything. I'm so glad Jon Hamm won. Man, he was so great on that show. And, I kept getting beat out by Bryan Cranston, who I never watched Breaking Bad, but everyone says was amazing on that too. But I just felt like, Jon Hamm just got snubbed too many times. And this year they just sort of gave it to him because he'd, been beaten down so many times. But I don't know. I thought it was very well deserved. I think Jon Hamm is pretty dreamy and pretty talented and amazing. And if you listened to my episode with Stephanie Drake in episode 10, you can hear me basically gushing about Jon Hamm. So we don't need to rehash that. You guys know. You're aware that I have a crush on Jon Hamm. I thought the Emmys were pretty good. I don't know. Did you guys watch it? Whatever. Doesn't matter if you did or not. I did. I liked it. Moving on. My guest today is Jill Simonian from thefabmom.com. She is an entertainment reporter and a lifestyle expert, and she's also a mom of two adorable little girls. So we have a lot to talk about. In particular, we talk about balancing your career with confidence, like finding new confidence as a mom in your career, and how she has this great story about how her pregnancies were both unexpected, but she found a way to use those to further along her career in a different way. It sort of opened up new doors and new perspectives on her career and her life, which I kind of found having Channing did the same thing for me. So we definitely have a lot to talk about there as well. So you guys don't want to miss that. So before we get into the interview with Jill, though, I want to announce the winners of the Expecting More DVDs that Sarah Haley gave in the last episode that she was on, in episode 12. And here we go. All right. The first DVD goes to Mabel's mom at Mabel's mom on Twitter. Thanks for the tweet, Mabel's mom. You can reach out to me or I'll reach out to you, and you'll get to pick one of the DVDs from Sarah's collection. Also at Not Mom Material. Congratulations. You are a winner, winner chicken dinner as well. And also Jocelyn DeCrosta. Congratulations. Thank you guys so much for tweeting at MIH Podcast, helping to get the word out about the show, but also just me personally, I appreciate you guys showing your support and that you enjoy the show. That means a lot to me, you guys. Now that you have all won, I've given away so many prizes, I have nothing left to give. No, it's not true. I want to stop jibber jabbering and get right into the interview with Jill. You guys, she has so much energy and you can tell that this woman has a lot of fun in her life and with her job and with her kids and family, and it's very inspiring and very contagious. So here you go, you guys. Here's my little chat with Jill Simonian. What I thought was really lovely is a few years ago when I first met you, is you were having this wonderful fundraiser at the Americana. And it was for, was it for Children's Hospital?
Yeah, it was for, no, actually, no, because I did do another one for Children's Hospital.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But for that one, yeah, that was back in, wow, June 2013. Uh-huh. Ah! I can't even believe it. That one was for Operation Smile.
Operation Smile.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah. It's the one where the surgeons travel around the world and they fix the cleft palates.
Yeah.
And my husband has been a volunteer pediatric surgeon for them, and so we were doing the big, like, oh my gosh, you guys brought a ton of stuff, by the way. You brought crayons and coloring books, and like we filled bins and bins and bins for all these little kids who were having
such
their surgeries.
Great idea.
But I were, yeah, you were there. That's where we met.
It was so nice because Channing was only like 2 months old at the time, and we have a mutual friend from KTLA, which is a news station here in LA, called her name is Ginger Chan. And she loves to tease me all the time. She swears I named my daughter after her because my daughter's name is Channing. And I call her Chan, which I'm like, yes, of course I did.
That's cute.
Ginger is the best. So, but she knew that I had just had a baby and was like, hey, so I'm going to this really great event. It's in your hood. Like, you know, do you want to come? And I was like, I would love to get out of the house.
Right?
Yes, please. And like be around other moms and other people. It'd be great. So I just had such a wonderful time. So thank you for doing that.
You're so welcome. Thank you for coming.
Sure. And that also was part of your, or like kind of a branch off, I guess, from the Fab Mom.
Yeah. It was every so often. And you know, it's funny because every year, particularly around, oh, November holiday time, when the holidays kick off, the past few years, I've started doing a charitable awareness donation driven campaign for a charity that I have, you know, a special affection for the year. And, you know, 1 year it was Children's Hospital, 1 year it was Mending Kids International. These are all, you know, volunteer organizations that, you know, need people's help to provide medical aid for kids, obviously. And that event in June was something that sort of spawned the whole idea for the charitable thing through the fabmom.com because it was helping out Operation Smile, which is a nonprofit. But that was good.
Such a great idea. That's totally something I want to do too, actually, to talk to my husband about that. Like, I would love to, with Motherhood in Hollywood, this fall or this Christmas, try to find a way to do something to give back and somehow incorporate the podcast. So we've been talking about some ideas as well. So I may pick your brain about how
you can pick my brain
about
how to
put together something like that.
I know. Well, you know, the key, and I mean, we were talking about that, like, hello, our little off the record conversation earlier about social media.
Yeah.
Everything now, I think, is so dependent on social media. And
100%.
Social media makes it so easy. I mean, I don't want to say easy, but it makes it so accessible to do this kind of thing where, you know, you have your moms and actors and, you know, social circle that you interact with in real life. And then they're on social media and it's a matter of, you know, you reaching out to them saying, hey, I want to let people know about this thing that you can help people with. Can you blast this out on social media? And it's, I mean, it's a great way to just sort of get informed and participate and maybe give
back to something
you feel. The
positive side of social media.
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit about the Fab Mom.
Okay.
Because all of us, I think, would like to think we're a little fabulous. But I wake up in the morning sometimes and I am not fabulous.
I was putting mascara on in my car, like when I pulled up to your house outside on the curb. Like it took me, I pulled up, parked. You're and like, then it's up. Like, I'm literally, it's like mascara, lipstick. If you were looking out your window, you're probably thinking, what the hell is she doing in there? It's just us. Like we know, you know.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
But I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You look amazing. I know. Revlon mascara is my favorite from CVS.
So where did this come from?
Thefabmom.com. Thefabmom.com was legitimately born, out pun intended, born out of my extreme fear of becoming a mother.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Heather, I kid you not. I mean, if you guys go to my website and you click on the, you know, Meet the Mommy about Jill, you know, the full backstory, I have written something that, you know, lives on the website that just explains the motivation for creating the Fab Mom. And I, long story short, you know, before having babies, I worked in TV. I was a post reporter, the whole, you know, the whole shabam. I was working. I was kind of like on the upswing, all excited. And I was, you know, I just got
your
married.
Your career was like
the career
off.
Was like kind of starting to move. And then bam, I find out I'm unexpectedly pregnant.
Right.
And it was like, what? No, this cannot happen right
now.
This
is not in the plan.
This is not in the plan right now. This, what, you know, I'm not ready for this. I wanted a couple more years to build the career, build the, you know, momentum that of the
get the
dreams
nanny.
That I'm
be able to hire the onset nanny.
Oh my
nanny.
Gosh, I know. But I get it. So it just came, finding out I was pregnant came at a scary time because this was back in early 2010. And at that time, motherhood and pregnancy, like this was not something that, you know, was, you know, all over and, you know, on TV and, you know, you didn't see a lot of pregnant people on TV and doing their jobs. And it was, and literally, like, my agent at the time was like, do not tell anyone you're pregnant. Keep your mouth shut. We're going to try and get you a new job before the belly pops. Do not say anything. So I essentially hid my pregnancy for like 5 months, 6 months.
Wow.
And then, like, you know, at the 6 month mark, you I'm can't. Like, okay, you can, the billowy blouses aren't doing it anymore.
Yeah,
like,
no, you can't hide it at that point.
So I decided to start a blog to stay creative, stay present, stay relevant somehow in media. And for me, that meant going online. And mom blogs were starting to gain popularity.
Oh, mommy bloggers and, are like, there's so, so many. And I actually read, and I posted this on an interview I did a couple weeks ago, that there's 4.2 million mommy bloggers, quote unquote, mommy bloggers. I mean, I'm sure not all of them consider themselves mommy bloggers.
Right.
But that's what's so interesting to me is where the mommy blogger starts, because I know I hesitated in writing at all because I feel like, well, what can I say that hasn't already been said?
I know it's all been said. We all say the same thing in different ways.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the magic thing about being a mommy blogger, and a lot of people say like the term mommy blogger is like a dirty word because they
well,
don't
it is
be
now,
mommy
yeah.
bloggers. They just want to be bloggers.
Right.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. You can call me a mommy blogger. I'm a mom. I'm a blogger, whatever.
Right.
Digital influencer. You know, I'm saying that in quotation marks. But like the market is so oversaturated. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a blog. We're all talking about motherhood over and over and over again. The interesting thing about this whole mom blog world is that no matter how alike you are with someone else, everybody has their own individual unique take and perspective on motherhood, how it changes you, how it affects your day-to-day life, how you're handling it from the inside out. No two people are the same. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I find myself, you know, jumping from blog to blog and reading different things online all throughout the day. And each perspective is totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's interesting.
And that's ultimately why I think I went ahead and decided to move forward with, you know, the podcast is a totally different thing for me, but writing, in terms of writing, like I write a little bit of stuff on the blog, but because I do figure like I have my own unique voice, you have your own unique voice. Right. And while we may be writing about similar things, like it's still different. So, and I think that's why there are so many mommy bloggers. But what I love about your website is that you have found so many different ways and areas to highlight your motherhood. and being a mom. Because you have so many different areas that people can go to from your fails section.
All beginning with F words.
All beginning
right?
with F. Yeah, yeah. F words. So great.
Well, that was the funny part because I found the domain back to when I started the blog. So it came because I was fear, you know, I was scared of like disappearing and not doing anything creative. So I literally found the domain thefabmom.com because it happened to be the only one available for purchase that I looked at and I thought, you know what? I can work with this. Mm-hmm. It was the only one that I looked at and thought, I could work with this. I could make something of it. And initially in my mind, you know, I had the phrase fabulous. I'm going to stay fabulous after babies.
Right,
well,
right.
You know, we all know how that turns out in reality.
It does not. Yeah.
So after my baby was born and as I continued blogging, it clicked and I realized, oh my gosh, FAB is an acronym. It's fear after babies, fun after babies, focused after babies, fit after babies, food after babies. And the light bulb just went off.
Oh
and
my
I
God,
thought,
that's amazing.
Oh my, this domain came to me for a reason. Like,
yeah.
because everything I know in, you know, across the board, motherhood will change a woman. Mm-hmm. And I know it's like, you know, we talk about it over and over. Yes, motherhood changed it. But we each have our own perspective about how it changes us. And I thought this is, you know, the blog is, I call it a living lifestyle experiment after babies.
Yeah.
To try and stay focused and fab after having babies. So that's what I talk about on the blog.
Yeah.
My food is so different after babies because now whenever I cook food, I want to do it fast.
Yes.
I don't want a big drawn out recipe. I want fast food that's good and nutritious and done.
I think that's why that Rachel Ray's 30-minute meals like was such a huge hit because it was like 30 minutes. Yes, please.
Fast. Exactly.
What can I do in less time than that, actually?
And fit after babies. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't have time to go to a gym.
Yeah.
I don't. Fit after babies means doing push-ups against my bathroom sink before I brush my teeth.
Oh, that's good.
Like, that is what it comes down to. Like, done.
I think that's so great. And how lovely that Kismet sort of, like, stepped in there and was like, here's what I'm going to send you with all your FABs.
FABs. And then you can also use, you know, F words after babies. Like, how did you fucked up after babies.
Right,
like, what
exactly.
happened?
Is that on your website? Because I did not see
that.
No,
I did not use the F word on my website for fear of SEO damage.
You know, I worry about, I think about that too, because I swear constantly. I cuss like a sailor. And so I'm still me, though. I still want to be true to myself. So I still cuss in my blog sometimes. And sometimes I don't. I don't know. But I find that when I don't, people are like, why aren't you swearing? Like, who are you trying to impress? And I'm like, nobody. Sometimes I just don't feel like swearing.
Right.
Like, that's what's great about being a mom is, like, you can decide from 1 minute to the next what you feel like doing that day or not feel like doing
exactly.
that day. So how did you find that your entertainment friends and your reporting friends adjusted to your new role as a mom? Did you find that people were like, ew, baby? Because the entertainment reporting world is, I feel like, very similar to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. In terms of actors and things like
right.
that. Everyone thinks, oh, neat, you have a baby. Uh-huh. But they don't want anything to do with it other than just the occasional, you know, like
right,
visit or
right,
whatever.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I don't know if that was your experience. But
let me think back. It was interesting, the timing of when my motherhood happened. I found out I was pregnant literally 3 weeks after. A month. Okay, 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I found out I was pregnant about a month after a 3.5-year contract in entertainment news ended for me. So I had been working in entertainment news full time for this cable network Reels channel for about 3.5 years. My contract ended. The station relocated to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I wasn't able to move. I had just gotten married.
Reels?
Yeah. They're in Albuquerque now.
That makes so sense.
Side note. Yeah. Tax breaks, baby. Tax breaks.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you're an actor. Production moves.
I know it does, but still, that makes no sense.
So, I know. So, anyways, that job ended, and then I found out I was pregnant. And then subsequently, I worked freelance here and there, but I never had a full-time entertainment news job as a mother. And let me tell you something. At first, it took me a long time to come to terms with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for me to accept because I missed work so much.
Do you think the two were related?
But no. I don't think they were related. I mean, it was, no, I just think it was a matter of coincidence. Mm-hmm. But had I had a full-time entertainment news job, for me personally, emotionally, I think it would have been very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm the first person to say I can handle a lot. I can handle a lot of juggling, a lot of, you know, shifting with schedules and sitters and kids and this and that. But that would have been too much for me to handle, I think, with the schedule that I used to work. I would have been gone all the time. I would have been gone during the day, at night, weekends, done. I would have never been with my kid.
How do you think some women in entertainment are doing it? Like in terms of like, who is a mom right now that like, okay, Juliana Rancic. Mm-hmm. Now she probably has a bunch of nannies and babysitters
Well, that's the key. It's possible to do it. Mm-hmm. You can do it. Absolutely. It's just a matter of what you're willing to give and take because you cannot, and it's like, oh, I'm going to get reamed when people listen to this because for the record, I'm saying this on the record. Yes, women can have it all. Yes, you can do it all. You can try it all. But I'm also here to say there's a reality to not being able to do everything at the same time and be fully happy and content.
Yeah.
And calm.
Yeah.
I can handle a lot.
Right.
I know you can handle a lot too. You just told me your schedule. I'm like, huh? But like, but it is very, very difficult.
Something
to have everything, do everything at the same time. They have nannies.
Something has to give.
They don't necessarily cook dinner, which I'm not, these are not bad things. I'm not judging.
Yeah, yeah.
But like with a lot of my friends who I know are working all the time, you know, they're not cooking dinner. They have a spouse that they can depend on to shift and shuffle. I don't have it. My husband's a pediatric plastic surgeon. His schedule sometimes, he's non-existent at home sometimes. Yeah. He will help when he can, but it's not, I don't have a partner that I can depend on. Oh, he's going to be home at this time.
Every day.
Yeah. And it's a matter of hiring full-time help and having a lot of wheels turning at the same time.
Why do you think it is, though, that there's this image out there that women in the spotlight can have it all? Like they want to put this image out there that like everything is perfect and you know, look how great I'm able to balance my career with my family and look how great my husband is. Like it's this weird PR thing that I think someone has told celebrities and actors and you know and entertainment people that they have to do in order to be well liked by people, because it's just not reality. I don't know anybody whose life is that perfect. And you know,
no, it's true. And I think a lot of it has to do with the social media age we live in. Mm-hmm. Myself included here, I want to see pretty pictures.
Sure.
I want to read positive things on Facebook. I want to find out, you know, that's great. Like, and of course, I never discourage, especially women and mothers and everything. I always say like, oh my gosh, like pat yourself on the back, post about how you were a super mom today, like feel good, because that's what keeps us going. We want to feel good about all the positive things. And then when I see something positive, it helps me get through a really shitty day, you know, and vice versa. So social media, I think, drives that machine a little bit.
Sure.
At the same time though, I will say this, more and more women, I think, are being very real about the behind the scenes struggles. Like more and more I'm seeing. And
especially now. That's true. That is happening more and more now.
Yeah. And I try and, you know, from time to time, I'll post something on my fails section on the website, like fails after baby, just to be like, hey, it was awful today, but we got through it. And the next day was great. But I think it's a social media thing.
And how do you deal with the decision to post about your kids and what to post about your kids?
Oh, yeah.
This is something that's like on the top of my mind lately, because I just interviewed this wonderful doctor from UCLA who wrote a book called Media Moms and Digital Dads. And she talks about how as a culture, our kids are growing up and learning how to be people basically based off of social media and TV shows and films. I mean, that's like one part of what she talks about, and also how much parents are posting of their kids. So I instantly like get nervous and I go, oh my God, I can't be a mommy blogger. I can't be a podcaster with a podcast about babies, because I can't, I get nervous. I don't want to post pictures about her, of her. So I'm always curious to know how moms come to that decision to, you know, go ahead and post about their kids, what you post about your kids, like what's your decision-making process there?
It's there. Everybody has a different comfort zone. That's what I'm finding. My own site early on, I made the choice to make my site focus more about the woman behind the mom. Me, I'm a woman behind the mom. This is my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So my site, God, this sounds so egotistic. My site's mostly about me, and my kids are there for accessories to prove that I'm a mom.
Yeah.
But and it's interesting because on everything like media associated, like my website, whenever I go on TV as a commentator, I use my maiden name, and I kept that on purpose because I don't want my married name to be out there, because then people can go to my website and they see pictures of my kids.
Yeah.
And even on my website, I don't use my kids' real names.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
They have pseudonyms. They have, you know, my older girl is Lady P.
Yeah.
And my little one is Lil Miss. Yeah. It's like they're rappers or something.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's like everyone has their own comfort zone. For me, like in terms of posting pictures, social media wise, like the technicalities of it, I only try at most of the time, 85% of the time, I'd say, if I post a picture of my kids, I'm in that picture with them.
Yeah.
Or if I post it by themselves, you know, maybe I'll just get like a profile shot, or I post a lot of pictures of them like walking from behind. Because they're still adorable.
They're so, it's
and
so cute.
Sometimes I do post the full frontal face. Yeah, hot, yeah. You know, if it's fun. Because that's fun. But you have to worry about people ripping off your photos. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of weird freaks on the internet that will
names.
Pretend.
Yeah.
That will pull your pictures and pretend that they're their kids.
Yep.
It's scary.
It is scary. And that's why I was so surprised at how many millions of mommy bloggers there are out there who are incorporating their kids into their lifestyle, their blogs, their new businesses, you know, however they're doing it. And I'm still trying to find a way to balance that, and still trying to find a way to, you know, how much I want to incorporate her. I mean, the show is called Motherhood in Hollywood.
I know.
So I want to include her. I talk about her on the show, you know, and I talk about her potty training.
I know.
Which someday I'm sure she'll be like, oh my God, mom.
But it's all like, again, the magic of the digital world we live in, you can choose your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And if at some point you start doing something and then all of a sudden you feel like, oh, wait a minute, you know, I don't know if I'm comfortable with this, you can change it.
Yeah.
And it's constantly evolving, and you can be the boss of how much you want to share, how little you want to share, and when you want to share it, and how.
And how does that apply for you in terms of your writings as well? Mm. Not just pictures, but like in terms of what you're writing.
Right.
Because that also can get deeply personal.
Oh, yeah, it can. And there have been a few things I've written, actually, where I'm writing it and then I reread it and I say, I'm cool with it. Yeah. I'm going to do it. And then I post it, and then my husband or my mom, why did you post that? Didn't you think that was a little bit too personal? And then, and I know, like, you know, creative people are not supposed to do this, but then they're kind of like my checkpoints, and then I'll think about it and say, you know what? Maybe that wasn't so smart, and then I'll go back and re-edit it. Just for myself, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for my kids, it's, you know what I mean? You got to be a little bit more delicate with it, and I think ahead, like, there have been so many things where I have wanted to write about my little one raising hell and but then I think, how is she going to feel if she reads this when she's 8?
Yeah.
And then
when she's 14 in high school and the mean girls are coming out and going, we read what your mom wrote.
Yeah. And at the time it's like, oh, I'm writing about my 3-year-old, I love her to death, but she's driving me crazy.
Right.
But there, she's not going to get that if she reads it when she's old. So that's kind of, I always have that in the back of my mind too.
I wish I could be more free. But for some reason, I think maybe too, it's because of my background in news. And we write so many stories about child abductions, about kids being bullied at school and stuff like that. And so it's something that I'm really hesitant about. But I'm torn because I have this passion for being her mom that I never expected. And I think you maybe touched on that a little bit too, about how you were sort of unwittingly fell in love with being a mom. Oh, like, because you said your pregnancies were unexpected, but then it's like you have them and you're like,
no, it was the best. I look back on the day, and like I said, I wrote about it in the about section of my website. I look back on the day, I literally like was crying. I mean, it was like you would have thought like something really tragic happened.
No, no.
When I
and this was, is when you found out you were pregnant.
I look back on that day and I said, that was the that was the day that I acted the stupidest,
yeah,
stupidest in my entire life. And you didn't know. And I mean, had I always joke, I was like, wow, had I known that this would have really rounded me out as a woman and an individual and make me feel so much more. I mean, motherhood gives you a lot of insecurities in one way, but for me personally, it also gave me a lot of confidence that I never had before. And people don't believe me when I say that, but
no,
like
I
before,
do.
Before, oh my gosh, before I would like, every time I would go on air, I would be like, before babies, I would be like shaking and nervous and my heart would be pounding and I would be like, I look back and I was so nervous. And for whatever reason, after babies, it's like, you know, you go through the delivery, the thing, however it happens.
Like self-consciousness goes out the window.
Self-consciousness goes out the window. You have more confidence from like the inside, like from your gut coming out. And I say, oh my gosh, had I known this was going to happen, I should have had kids when I was like 22 years old. Oh my gosh, I would have been so confident about everything.
And now you're only 25, so it's totally fine.
I know, I've only lost 3 years.
I'm going to be 25 soon too. So.
You are.
I know, yeah. One day. it's the Hollywood lie, I tell myself.
It is the Hollywood.
No one will ever know my age, and they don't need to know.
No.
No, I love that. No, it's true. Like, there's a confidence that comes with being a mom, and that's not to bag on people who are not moms yet.
No,
or
not
who,
at all.
You know,
no,
want
no, no,
to
no,
be
no.
moms. It's just a different kind of feeling, and I try to express that to people, and I have such a smart ass personality.
You're fine.
That people are like, yeah, right. They don't think that I could possibly have a softer side, and I you know, I don't like to let people in on that side very often, but when it comes to my daughter, like, oh god, she's just the best thing in the world. And I never thought that I would feel that way, because my husband and I waited a long time to have kids. We were married for 11 years before we were like, man, let's do this, you know. Let's do it before it's too late,
right?
And so we had her. And we still go, why did we wait so long? Like, she's just the best thing ever. She's a pain in the ass sometimes.
Right.
Like, it's not roses and sunshine every day.
No, they all are. Yeah. Oh.
I mean, we're going through, she's 2.5 now, and she's a little nuts. Like, you know, how old is your youngest?
Okay, my youngest is 3.5 now, like, at the time of recording. And then my oldest is almost 5.
Okay.
So by the time this airs, my oldest might be 5. Hmm.
How crazy is it when they don't know what they want, they can't express what they want, but they are so passionate about the level of not knowing what they want? It's a little like talking to an insane person. And I say that in the most loving way, because I do love my daughter, but oh my god, like this morning on the way to preschool, she was like, I got mama. And I'm like, I don't know what you're
really
saying.
She's really mad. Yeah.
Yeah. And she just kept saying it over and over again. And then she started crying. Aww. And I was like, she's in the back seat. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. Like, I literally just wait till we get out of the car.
You know what I started doing? And I think I started doing it when my youngest was around 2.5. I never had to do it with my older, because the I mean, they're the same, but they're total opposites. My older could always, you know, kind of get her wits about her and gather her, you know, senses and everything. And my little one is just wild woman. And so I started doing this thing. I'm like, let's take a deep breath.
Yes.
And I go, and then so she starts breathing. And it is the funny, like, I want to die laughing.
It's so cute.
But it works. And I am not, like, I am not this zen person. Like, I myself am, you know, frenetic and kind of all over the place. And when I do that with her, I'm like, oh, and now we need to be zen.
Yeah.
And then
I
she's
think
like,
there are
okay.
some kids who need that touch, that moment of grounding.
Yeah.
I find that Channing definitely needs that. But sometimes she'll scream at me and go, no deep breath.
No deep breath.
No deep breath. And
no
I'm like,
deep breath.
Please take a deep breath.
You're like, I need to take a deep breath.
Like, please take one with mommy. But no, it's sometimes funny. She is not having it. But really, I have to try. We have to try.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think she's definitely one of those ones who is going to benefit from yoga, maybe.
Oh, yes, yoga. I myself don't do yoga. I don't either. We should.
I don't either, but I can see the need. Like, it's interesting how I can see her developing into the person who might find something like that helpful.
That's funny.
As she grows into an adult.
Yeah.
And so we're going to start doing that because she just gets so passionate. So passionate.
Well, I don't want to like derail the conversation here, but when you're talking about how, you know, these 2.5-year-olds, these toddlers, they'll just, they'll go crazy because they don't know what they want. To me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but for me, that sounds very familiar to working in entertainment news.
Yeah.
Where you have a lot of different personalities in a newsroom. Some people know what they want. Some people don't. But guess what? You're going to get yelled at for it. And so I always joke and say, oh, working in entertainment prepped me for motherhood because I'm already used to the craziness.
No, it's true. It's true because they don't know. Everything is so money driven. Everything is so ratings driven that from one minute to the next, they could want this and that. And you just
and
never
you
know.
And you learn how to adjust. And you learn how to just, you know, temper the waters and say, oh, okay, we're doing this now. But now we're going to switch gears. We're going to do this. Oh, and now we're going to do this. Honestly.
And now you have done guest spots on, like, the Today Show. And you're doing headline news as well.
From time to time. HLN has this show that's been on for a few months now. It's called The Daily Share. And it's all social media driven. Mm-hmm. And they've got these, like, hot, smart, fun hosts and reporters who have these insane social media followings. And they started doing I would go into HLN for parenting and pop culture commentary. Mm-hmm. But now, lately, it's been pretty consistent. Like every week or every 2 weeks, I'll go in and do the pop culture commentary for a part of the show for The Daily Share. The Daily Share is the name
of
the show.
So you have to stay on top of like what's happening with celeb news and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is it geared towards mom stuff or just
no,
general
No, it's
celebrity?
Not geared towards mom stuff. But for whatever reason, a lot of times there's a ton of celebrity mom news in the news, and so it's fun. That's my sweet spot because it's like I love the celebrity moms, the entertainment news, and then parenting and motherhood. It kind of crashes all together, so that's my favorite stuff to talk about. Today's show was I write for their parenting team blogs, and a few months ago in June 2015, I on a random whim got to fly out there and do a segment on air.
Oh, great.
With Matt Lauer, which was crazy. And I mean, my heart was like pounding. I was like, oh my gosh. But it was about keeping your hotel room safe for toddlers and how to safety hacks when you're traveling. So that was a fun thing. But
was that something they wrote for you or you had written something on that?
I had written a blog post about it because early summer they started reaching out to the different parenting team contributors saying, hey, could you write about some of your favorite hacks for traveling with kids?
Oh, okay.
So I wrote a few little things and then out of nowhere I got, a call from one of the producers saying, you know what? If you're able to, we can fly you out here and you could be a part of the segment on air. And it was one of those things where literally I thought, okay, I have been wanting to be on the Today Show for 10 years now, ever since I first started. And it took 2 kids to get me there. I mean, literally, that would not have happened had I not been a mom.
It's the power that moms have and the mom community. It's the buying power, the social media power.
Yeah.
It's all of that. There's moms who are just soaking up information from other moms. Because I know when I was pregnant, I was reading everything. I was reading everybody's comments. I was reading everybody's blogs on like strollers, diapers, breastfeeding, you know, C-sections, natural birth, all of it. You just sort of, you have all these moms that are soaking up every information. So there's moms out there who were like, how can I hack my hotel room? Make it safer for my toddler. Yeah. So I can see the need for that for sure.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. And it cracks me up how much information is out there. Because quite honestly, a big part of me thinks that there's kind of too much information to the point where if we just keep reading or read, I mean, there's a point where you can get confused. But
with so many people's opinions, so many voices.
Stuff. Sure. But there's a market for it. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird to say, like, motherhood is a business now, but in some ways it kind of is.
It totally is. So what do you want to do then? Would you like to go back to the Today Show? Like, because we talked about your blog post where you said it was just one of your recent ones where you were like, I'm okay with having a mediocre career, but are you really okay with that?
Oh my, you said that right now. And I swear my eyes are like, I have like the cry bubble in my throat. Aww. I'm like, here's the thing. It's, my God, I promise I'm not an emotional wreck. Aww. I don't know why I'm getting weird right now.
I do that. It's basically I'm Diane Sawyer.
I'm not going to, Heather made me cry. Here's the thing. I am okay with having a mediocre career because I am accepting. I mean, just like, you know, I talked about earlier, I myself physically, emotionally, mentally am learning that I cannot have everything all at the same time.
Right.
There's different chapters. There's a chapter, you know, there was a chapter when I was in college. There was a chapter when you don't know this about me, but I did like musical theater.
Oh, and I thought sang you were the national porn.
Anthem. No, I'm just kidding. Oh yeah, musical theater, porn, like woo, opposite ends of the spectrum. Although that musical would be theater, an interesting cool. show. I know. Yeah, like there were different chapters. I look back now and I think, okay, like I have had very diverse chapters in my life. There was the musical theater, you know, national anthem singing chapter.
Sure.
Then there was the, you know, television entertainment news chapter. Now I feel like I'm in this motherhood lifestyle experiment chapter. And I can't do all of those things at one time. I all love them. And I, you know, I miss the entertainment, the on camera, the news. Like I miss it so much. But everyone's life has different chapters. And I'm accepting that this is the chapter I'm in now. And I'm accepting that those past career things that I did, they're not going to happen at the same speed right now because I have two little people I'm taking care of.
Right.
And yes, you know, I could hire full-time help. I could do all of that. I couldn't hire full-time help because, frankly, we can't afford full-time help.
Right, right.
But, not like, there LA, are no. options
yeah.
that I can do, but I am making the choice to, right now, because there's so little, I'm making the choice to put the mom stuff above everything else. Now, that may change. I mean, you know, the mom stuff always going to be above everything else, but, you know, you might shift and balance and think, you know, adjust here and there later on. But for right now, I'm okay with a mediocre career kind of translates into I'm accepting the stage I'm at my life, and it's okay that I'm not moving at octane speed like I was before.
So it's okay then, maybe we say like it's okay to have a mediocre career right now.
Yes.
And then the next chapter, like I love that. No, because I think about my life in terms of chapters too, the college chapter. Because I used to be a hard news reporter and anchor for many, many years. And I was an international correspondent.
I did all of that. I mean, no, that's like heavy duty.
Yeah.
Stuff.
And then there was my acting, you know, when I decided like to go with my heart and my gut and really get into acting. And that was definitely a chapter. And now we are in the Channing chapter for sure. And she is my priority. And I had to come to terms a lot with that I can't do everything. I can't work full time in news. I can't go to auditions every day. I can't also write a blog and be a good mom to her. Like something has to give. And so I pick and choose, and she's, you know, my top choice because she's my one and only. And I will never get this time back with her. And that's something I think of a lot. Is that
I think of that too a lot. Too.
Yeah. You look back and you want to be like, oh my gosh, I got to spend all that time with her. And when she is going into kindergarten or middle school, you know, and we don't ever get this time back. And I swear though, if one more person tells me, cherish these years.
I know everyone.
It's like, I'm not, what am I doing? I'm not sitting around every waking moment going, oh, I'm cherishing.
I know. I mean, it is, it's real life, but you're living in the moment.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely living in the moment. And so I am curious to see then how the Fab Mom is going to continue to grow for you.
I'm curious too. Here's what
springboard into other things, hopefully.
Here's what I would love. I'm loving my website now. Occasionally I work with brands. I love doing television commentary. I Well, here's a little thing of, it's not quite breaking news because it actually hasn't happened yet. At the time of this recording, wink, wink, I have a book that, I have a book proposal that's like floating out into the publishing world. Yeah. And I don't want to give it all away, but it's a lifestyle. I mean, you can put two and two together. You can look at my blog. You can guess what it's about. I don't want to say the idea out loud because if a celebrity hears this like a big name and they can scoop it up they can sell my book. And so it's my idea. It's somewhat irreverent. It's very real. It's very frank.
And that's when you've already written?
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty much everything that I have done on my blog. With a certain perspective about motherhood.
Okay.
And particularly like bouncing back fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and some of my, like I said, like some of my choices that I made like early on in motherhood were a little bit off against the grain of what like a lot of people do. But I would love to have this book published.
Right.
Like literally, like we just blasted this proposal out. And so I'm like waiting to hear back. So I would love for that to happen. I would love to continue working with brands. Mm-hmm. I would love to be a contributor. And I kind of did a little bit of this a few years ago when I worked for Hallmark Channel's Home and Family for like a blip. I would love to be a contributor for either a daytime talk show or have a segment that airs on a news show
like
that has to do with
every
lifestyle.
Once in a while for like as a guest, like a...
Yeah, or no, like a hired contributor covering things lifestyle driven and lifestyle oriented and parenting oriented for viewers. I want to continue what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Because I love working with the brands. I love, you can go on my website and click on the finds section. Like a lot of those things, I'm hired by brands, brands that I happen to actually love to be like a spokesperson of a thing. So,
but also one thing that's nice about having your own site like that is that you have control.
It's true.
That is one thing that I love about my podcast is I have control over it. I decide what topics, I decide who I want to interview and what I want to talk about and how many times I want to say fuck. It's up to me. Nobody's telling me like what I can do. And I will say that that has been one of the most empowering things about starting a website, starting this podcast and writing is the control. So there's probably some aspect of it that for sure that you like as well.
Oh, I love the control. Hell yes. I would love to have my own show talking only about lifestyle and parenting and hot commentary for moms.
Yeah.
Like that's the
is there a show on the air right now that's similar or there's really not anything like that?
There isn't anything like that. Mm-mm. There isn't anything like that. And
that could be that's the next.
Maybe that's like the next thing. But we'll see.
Well, I am very excited to see what the next chapter will bring for you.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I call it throwing spaghetti against the wall.
See what sticks.
Yeah.
I know that when you do get your book picked up and published, will you come back on the show and tell me all about it?
Yes.
Oh, that would be great. I'm also
sorry I was so cryptic. It was like,
but you have to protect your ideas. We live in an industry where people will straight up snatch your idea and make it their own, and you have to protect your ideas. So I totally understand that. I also know we have a lot of mutual friends in common, like Ginger Chan and Courtney Friel and all the KTLA folks, which is a news station here in LA. And I'm bugging Ginger to come on the show. Ginger has twins and like a 5-year-old. And I'm like, how are you even standing?
No,
up
I don't
right
know.
Now?
Honestly.
I don't
like
know.
Those women are mythical creatures.
And she also works full time.
Yeah, I know she does. That's the hard part. I don't know how she does.
And then
it.
I'm all like, why won't she have lunch with me? like I don't know the answer to that.
She's like, because I want to go home and go to bed.
I know, exactly. So I'm totally going to text her and be like, guess who's on my show? Now you have to come on.
She's going to say, Jill doesn't work full time. So she.
That's true. But no, I definitely want to make sure we tell people to go to thefabmom.com and check it out. Also, make sure you go and find Jill on all her social media stuff. You're on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram. Instagram, I'm getting to know. Instagram and I have started a relationship and we're,
See, I thought I was already following you and then I realized the other day that I wasn't. I was like, oh my God, I must correct this immediately.
I'll be perfectly frank. I love Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Twitter. It's quick. It's fast. I love Twitter. I'm on Twitter.
Yeah.
Jill Simonian. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook. I have a, you know, I love Facebook too. Mm-hmm. I am on Instagram, you know, start posting pictures here and there, here and there. But yeah. I'm obsessed with Twitter. I don't know why.
I think because it's just so easy and it's a, you get almost immediate, you get immediate feedback on a lot of them, but I don't know. People can tweet you, retweet you. And you know, I don't know. It seems like
I'm old school. Of course, my favorite would be like the oldest social media thing.
That would be. Yeah. Well, that's Facebook or what was that other one? Friendster. Yeah. Friendster, that stuff. Well, I told you earlier when we Periscoped, like I'm just getting into the Periscope.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure that out. Like, is anyone watching this? I don't know.
We had a few people watching it.
And there'll be replays. A lot of people will watch on the replay and stuff too. So it's just, it's all interesting to me. And I'm just exploring and like enjoying this new chapter, which I love. Like I said, I love the way that you, you sort of broke that all down. So everybody go and find Jill on all her social media sites immediately. Stop what you're doing immediately. And I'll also put a link to all of her stuff on motherhoodandhollywood.com so you guys can go and check that out as well. And Jill, thank you so much
for
coming on the show. I appreciate it. I can't wait to see.
This is so fun.
Yeah,
we're
I can't wait to see.
Lot after this.
I know. We literally could talk forever about our babies. Ah, babies. But yeah, I can't wait to see what the next chapter holds for you. It's going to be really cool.
Thanks.
Yay.
You too.
Thank you. I know. Thanks again for listening, everybody. You can find Motherhood in Hollywood at MIH Podcast on Twitter and Motherhood in Hollywood on Instagram and Facebook. I hope you guys are all having a great week and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.